If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Spring training is on and the Score is headed back to Arizona for Score House 2. March 2nd through the 6th, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Sterling Vineyards. Can these Score guys survive under one roof as they try to cover both the Cubs and Sox? Score House. They'll be drinking lots and lots of wine. Score House. Maybe they'll get kicked out this time. Score House. Who will be the one to play the fool? Score House. Someone's getting pushed into the pool. Hear the drama unfold and watch it unfold live using the Radio.com app. Plus incredible baseball guests live from Sloan Park and more on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Score House is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Cheers to the infamous. And Sterling Vineyards. Always polished, never dull. And brought to you in part by Team Hochberg. Call Team Hochberg or visit 56David.com.
Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Well, then visit the Sprint Store on Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 p.m. tomorrow.
And this transition is brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Oh yeah. Ha! Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Boy, that means a lot to us. Thanks to Dustin Rhodes.
Listen up closely, Snowflake.
He's going to be watching Marquee Network somewhere, and he's going to tell poor old Mully exactly where it's at. And our thanks to Kevin Zipak.
He's exactly the turd he makes himself out to be on social media.
That's him in a nutshell. And Ray, we are now calling Ray, Ray of Sunshine.
Thank you, Ray.
Mitch,
I don't need the help of a man that I never met before. I don't even know who this man is.
And let's welcome in Dan Bernstein and Will Perdue. Will, God
How
bless you.
It?
Wow. Morning, guys. Welcome, Will.
I'm humbled.
It's early.
it's early for these guys. Yeah. Their day's over. Yeah. Their work day's done.
It's just getting started.
But after you did the Bulls game, I'm sure it seems a little bit early, right?
Yes, but... Yeah. I made an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be the judge of that.
So, and I know people listening, I'm going to get it off the rails early.
Nice.
And I'm going to start pointing the finger at everybody that works in this place.
There's a lot of fingers.
But the good thing is, when you guys come in the morning, the bathroom's clean.
Oh, yeah, no.
Pristine.
Yes.
No. You ever come in here on a Monday, believe me, God, you're taking your life in your hands.
But usually when I'm here working... I'm usually working in the afternoon. The men that work in this joint are pigs. Can you not hit a target, please?
Oh, my God. Will, come in on a Monday morning, and it is shocking. I'm not kidding you. It is toxic, and it is shocking.
Yeah, the only thing worse is generally a press box bathroom. a press box men's room is...
I had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
It's the end of the earth.
If you want to put yourself in harm's way... Stand in the doorway when you're at a sporting event and somebody sticks their head into the media area and goes, "Hey, buffet's ready." Yeah, it's a herd of cattle, man. You could hurt yourself if you get in the way.
Very bovine.
I've been laughing all morning about the Casey Urlacher story, this federal indictment.
Sweaters?
Obviously. The
sweaters is the one that jumps out.
Uncle Nick Nick and all that.
Sweaters is awesome.
It's a sweater. But the idea, just how dumb it is. Like, who came with this proposal of getting into the gambling business at exactly the same time governments are starting to tax it? right? And starting to make money on it. Like, there, you're. Why would you do this when now everybody's incentivized even more to crack down on the illegality of things like this and the idiocy of things like this? When now you're taking money out of the pockets of governments. Like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into sports gambling. Nice timing on that.
Well, I mean, the answer is fairly obvious. Did they not find $1.something million in cash in the guy's house? I mean, I'm guessing that was probably an incentive.
Walking around money. That's NBA money.
It wasn't even in his mattress?
No.
Wasn't like also like jewelry and watches and gold and silver bars?
Silver bars, yeah. Gold coins, and jewelry. So another $500,000 or $475,000 or some figure ridiculous.
This has got movie written all over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the title. Should it be Goodfellas or Dumbfellas for the reasons you mentioned?
The latter.
Yeah.
It's so low rent, you know?
I don't know how it worked or what happened with it, but it is, you know, again, you hate to see Brian Urlacher's good name kind of dragged through the mud because it's his brother who got caught up in the thing.
And if his brother wasn't caught up in it, you probably wouldn't even be aware of it.
About.
It wouldn't be on the front
page. It
would
be a story because, yeah. You know.
Yes. Right. Sweaters wouldn't be known.
No.
I don't know why.
How many nicknames do we know?
That might be the dumbest nickname I've ever. How do you get the nickname
was it because
Sweaters?
Maybe he was known for wearing multiple sweaters or lavish sweaters, or maybe he sweat a lot.
Or maybe he wore them out of a store.
Could be.
Multiple sweaters, got caught, who knows?
Well, maybe he was wearing sweaters because he had so much cash stuck in his belt.
That's a good one, I like that. Yeah.
That was one of the funniest things that I read. I don't know if it was David Roth or one of the other Twitter wags, that when we were talking about the Browns hiring Freddie Kitchens, and he said that Freddie Kitchens sounds like a nickname in a RICO indictment. Right? It's like Federico Chichenzi, a.k.a. Freddie Kitchens. Right? There's no way that's...
Yeah, that can't be real. Right, yeah, that's pretty good.
Right?
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, so I watched the Bulls game. Because the only other option was pouring bleach in my eyes. So I decided to... I mean, I don't... What am I doing? Well, help me out here. What are they doing is a better question. I love you guys, and I love the way you guys talk about it. And I get this sort of perverse joy now out of watching the Bulls, because I kind of, it's beyond hate watching now. It's hate myself watching. And I also enjoy the way that you and Jason and Kendall sort of not say things. You know, it's like, as I know what's going, I know you're watching the same thing we're watching, but there's a way you have to present it. It's the pauses and it's like the looks at each other.
It's called creativity.
Diplomacy.
It's impressive restraint. It is.
It can't be easy.
This is the one thing I've learned amongst numerous things. And after I got past the layers of disliking you guys back when I played, because I thought you, at first, because I was swayed by other players and thought you guys were all a-holes. And,
well, that's accurate.
Yeah, that's kind of right.
But then later in life, I realized, you know, you guys are just doing a job. And now I'm on this side of the fence. You guys do this because of your love of sports, first and foremost. And we all want everybody, we want the Cubs to succeed. This is true, whether people believe it or not. We want the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the White Sox. We want all these teams to succeed because when they play well, our jobs, your jobs, are so much easier.
Our lives are better when they're all really good.
It's so much more enjoyable. You even enjoy coming to work. As you talk about, Dan, now you're like coming to work going, okay, how do I spin this? How do I talk about this without coming across as being a total jerk?
Right.
You know, because the listeners as well get tired of the same old stories, the same old approach. So we're literally saying, okay, we have to be creative here because we still want people to watch. We still want people to listen. But at the same time, we have to be concerned about our credibility. How do we talk about this without being so negative? We still have to talk about there are some positives going on.
But you can't be too positive either.
Right.
No.
Not at this point.
But this is the one thing that Jerry Reinsdorf told me. When I got into this business and Jerry asked me, why do you want to do this? Well, I was a communication major at Vanderbilt. This was something that I thought about doing. It's also a way to stay associated with the game. But the one thing Jerry told me was, he goes, don't make it personal. Talk about what you see. And this was the interesting thing. The Chicago sports fan is more intelligent than most. This is Reinsdorf talking. You can't BS the Chicago sports fan. You have to be honest. But don't make it personal. Make sure that you're talking about what you see, talk about what you want to talk about, but also, you know, be fair. And I was like, you know, coming from him.
Good advice.
A guy that's taken a lot of heat, you know, not from me, from you guys. I'm pointing the finger at you guys.
So, Will, you open the door then. If Jerry Reinsdorf is honest and doesn't make it personal, doesn't he look at what's going on with the Bulls and say, we got to change this? It cannot continue to, you got to do something different. It doesn't, I don't know if it has
looking
to be.
Looking at empty seats is what he's looking at.
That's the reality that will get his attention more than anything else. Is that, would you agree with that? Because last night was, there were a lot more empty seats last night than in previous nights, but it's becoming a trend.
Yeah, very much so. And I know he was here in Chicago during the week of the Sox convention. I know he was at the game. I know he brought there were a lot of Sox players there. So I know he personally looked around and knowing him was like, I don't like what I see, and I don't like there's too many people dressed up as empty seats.
Sox players were comfortable.
Hey, man. They're the talk of the town, baby.
I used to love going
March
to those
26,
games.
March 26, can't get here early enough.
Right.
I had no problem with the empty stadium thing. That was great. As a fan, you just go sit anywhere you want. You wander around. You know, I brought my family there. The kids loved it. Food's great there.
Look, I tell stories about, people don't believe me, about when I was young and going to Bulls games.
Oh, God.
And we would go down to Chicago Stadium, and I loved that drive down Madison. You're like, ooh, what's that? Well, that's a pimp. Oh, really? What's that? That's a couch on fire in front of a bunch of hookers. Okay, great. So this is exotic. Wow. And we'd go and walk up, like, literally to the ticket office and buy as many seats as you wanted wherever you wanted. Well, I was there on Jerry Sloan night.
Oh, yeah.
I was there, and so I was sitting in, like, the seventh row center court, and if you had a kid's birthday party. Oh, happy, it's your seventh birthday. Get a bunch of your friends. We'll throw them in a van. We'll go down to a Bulls game. And you just walk up and buy tickets and walk in and sit down.
Yeah, so I always tell the story. You know, one of the... When I came to Chicago, I knew nobody. So through my Vanderbilt connections, I was set up with my accountant/lawyer. And I'll say his name so all his friends will give him a hard time. John Hayes. Hey, man, he mentioned your name on the radio. But he always had season tickets. And he used to always talk about how they had season tickets in the second balcony at the old Chicago Stadium. And he said by the time the second quarter started, he was down in the main level on the third or fourth floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, man, we're sitting courtside and we just paid for the second balcony.
Yeah.
But that's when he was younger and growing up. And
right.
Then he kept the tickets. And he always talked about how he thought his seat was better than once Michael Jordan showed up and the crowd started showing up. He was like second or third row. And you remember the old stadium? He said, I literally felt like I was leaning over the floor watching from above instead of back somewhere. And then he also got to the point where he also felt it was necessary that I'm not paying for this anymore.
Mm.
And he no longer has season tickets because he was fed up.
Imagine if you were like a Cleveland fan and you had LeBron there and then he left, and then he came back, and you're sitting on the floor, and then he left again. And now, like, he's not coming back this time. What do you do with
the status of your investment?
Yeah, exactly.
For. And, you know, it's
talk about a roller coaster.
And part of it too is so many people who have tickets. You know, I have friends who who have season tickets, and it really is a business thing. It really is. It's not a fan thing, and it's about how I'm going to sell this game. I'm going to sell this number of games. Sell these games will pay for this, and it hits home when you're dealing with somebody who's also like a trader by profession, who looks at who commodifies everything. Every single aspect of it is commodified. Is what is this worth, and when is it worth what it's worth? And then it's like, how many games do you go to a year? Two. Yeah, really? Like, yeah. He's like, I'm not really interested. It's too much of a hassle. He's like, I got to get in my car. I got to drive down. I got to park. I got to do all this stuff. I forget it.
Well, imagine paying whatever it cost to get in the building last night and watching them miss their first 17 three-point shots.
Oh, boy.
That's hard.
Well, it's not only watching them miss their first 17, but keep taking them.
Yeah. Well, at some point, they're going to go in.
Well, they did. It's just pretty late.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Wayman Tisdale who said, what's your philosophy? And he said, shoot when you're hot, shoot to get hot, shoot until Coach Tubbs takes you out. Like, all right, okay.
That's a philosophy.
It's also the game has changed. It's a lot of it's about analytics. You notice that the latest that they're talking about is the new face and voice that seems to be the leader in the clubhouse is the guy from the Pacers. And what is
Buchanan?
What does everybody mention in the article? He's an analytics guy. He believes in analytics. But it's not just him. I mean, that's just the direction that the league has gone. Layups and threes.
If three is more than two.
If you're making it.
Yep.
Well, there's the rub. You got to have guys that can knock him down in order to take him. I mean, theoretically, if we hit this many threes, we're going to win the game. That's what the analytics show. But we don't have a guy who can hit one.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I forgot who told me this, but ifs and buts were candies and nuts. We'd all be happy at Christmas. But if you're not hitting them, though,
exactly.
And you also have one of the best mid-range guys in the game, in Zach LaVine. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but isn't one of the best players in the league, if not the best player at the moment, when he's healthy and playing, a mid-range king in Kawhi Leonard?
That's right.
Now everybody's going to be like, oh yeah, but he hit eight threes in the All-Star game. Well, he was jacking him up because he was in the All-Star game. But when it comes down to it and it's the fourth quarter and the ball is handed to him, what is he going to do? He's going to kill you with the mid-range game. He may get one or may throw up one or two threes, but he knows where his sweet spots are. And that's 15 to 18 feet. And he's going to kill you. And you're going to go home with your chin on your chest and be like, how did that just happen?
Dan, I imagine the show is built around getting out of Will's way today. That might be a good idea.
We're going to do plenty of Bulls, and we're also going to talk to Craig Calcaterra, the lead baseball writer at NBC Sports. That's going to be a 10, as I don't know if you played the Jonathan Lucroy stuff.
Yeah,
That was really good.
Wow, yep. Say that they actually officially reported the Astros to MLB, and they didn't do anything until the story came out, until there was bad press. They did not act on it.
It answers the question of why Mike Fiers decided to go through the media, right?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, he had no choice because nothing was getting done. We also had the Ben Gordon Players Tribune merits some attention.
Oh, that's really
We're going to get to that. FanGraphs has come out with their Zips projections, which is sort of similar to the Pecota system. Mm-hmm. There's news in there for Cubs fans and Sox fans into what that algorithm thinks is going to happen in the baseball season. And there's a huge story also that came out of a golf podcast with the recently let go Peter Costas. It's not quite to the level of the Astros, but he is he's giving some information out for the first time about a cheater at the top levels of the PGA.
All right, great stuff.
Have a good show, guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No, Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Isaac, you missed the winning dunk and cost your team the championship. What are your thoughts?
I switched to Boost Mobile and got 4 free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones. So even when we lose, I still win.
Isaac, the fans are burning your jersey.
Yup, the fans get it. My Boost Mobile network is en fuego.
Switch to Boost Mobile and get 4 lines for $25 per line per month with unlimited data and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all on our super reliable, super fast network. Step up with Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and 1 per line. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com for details.
Don't miss this Saturday steal at Old Navy. Jeans are $12 for adults, $10 for kids. And adults and boys plush winter tees are $9. Plus women and toddlers cozy socks are just $1. In stores only Saturday at Old Navy. Valid 222 select styles only.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air fry. Only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric Range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price, just $798. With up to 40% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details. Valid through February 26th.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
It is a touchdown for Leroy Butler.
Join number 36, Leroy Butler, on Saturday, February 29th for Leroy's Leap Day. Leroy will be celebrating Leap Day this year with Hebron Housing Services, the oldest nonprofit in Waukesha providing emergency shelter to men, women, and children. On Leap Day, in celebration of his first Lambo Leap, Leroy will be raising money to tackle homelessness. Go to leroysleapday.com for tickets. That's leroysleapday.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Hawk, congratulations on winning the Ford C. Frick Award.
Thanks, Lawrence. I just, to this right now, so I haven't sorted things out in my mind yet because this is a bit of a life changer, you know, going to Cooperstown. It just doesn't happen very often, you know, you get an honor like this.
What's it mean to you to have been the voice? And in the intro, I brought it up that you're the voice in my head when I think about White Sox baseball. Well, what's it mean to you? For a lot of White Sox fans, you are that.
Means so much. As I said on my last speech there, I love them, and I always will. And I think we did create a bond that, you know, being called a homer was the greatest compliment you could pay me.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We're talking to Mark Grace here. What exactly is your role with Marquee? Explain it to us.
This is finally an opportunity to come back to a city that I adore and fans that were always just so stinking good to me.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Bernstein here for my friends at Aloha Restoration. Ooh, it's cold, and now it's starting to warm up again, and that's bad news for your pipes. Your pipes are at a high risk for expanding and bursting, and that's scary. It happens. It's a homeowner's worst nightmare, and I've been there. I've had water pouring into my house, and I did what you should do, and that is call Aloha Restoration. Don't panic. They've seen it. They can restore it. They can help. Trust me, I know this. Aloha will respond quickly when your pipes burst and the water's flowing. For water remediation, mold removal, or home remodeling, call Aloha Restoration at 847-865-5664 or visit AlohaRestores.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
O'Cally.
I think if they identify the person, if they're able to land someone with a lot of cachet and someone they feel that brings a lot to the organization, then they relinquish some power and say, we're going to let you now do the next hire or how you want to set up this department. So if they can't find that guy and they feel like, okay, we're bringing in a guy with lesser on his resume and lesser talent than we're looking for, then I think they're more hands-on. And again, this is still early on where they're trying to identify, okay, these are the guys we want to go for. These are the guys we have to be permission to talk to. And if we land A, B, or C, this domino falls this way. And if we land D, E, or F, the dominoes fall this way. I would be shocked if there's not multi-guys hired for this and a total repositioning of titles and parking lot spots and all that kind of fun stuff.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Craig Calcaterra will talk some baseball at 10 o'clock. We got all sorts of other fun to do. Also, Colin Faulkner, the Cubs Senior VP of Sales and Marketing, going to check in, join us around 11:40 and tell us what they got going on. His tickets are now available for a team that a lot of people think is going to be pretty good. And certainly with Chris Bryant striding into camp and energizing things, got a little better feel, a little better vibe of late for them regarding the Cubs. And giveaways! Oh, do we have things. Just because you're listening to this show, because you go through the torture of listening to this show, we give you things. We reward you. We have a pair of sweet tickets to see the Monster Jam Triple Threat 3 at Allstate Arena. We have tickets to win, a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater. Those have been immensely popular. It's way more popular than I expected. People love The Masked Singer. And we have another entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship that is coming up on Thursday, February 27th, at Galleria Marchetti, that benefits Camp One Step. So very excited about that and looking forward to seeing you at the tournament. If you haven't signed up, by the way, get registered. Please go get registered. Visit camponestep.org. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming 670thescore.com. You want to send a text to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You send it to 67011. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at Will_Purdue32. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You also have to download the radio.com app. And when you do, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can video stream the show. We've got these cameras. They flip the lights on here, and it becomes like a surgical suite. And then you can watch us do what we do on the video feed. You can also just go to 670thescore.com if you want to watch the video as well. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz, in the back, doing what he does.
This is definitely not a sterile environment, though.
Oh, no, certainly not. Now that you've had the bathroom experience, we'd have to get enough hand sanitizer to, you know, drip it over your head for an hour. Like, do you think that the Bulls are at all affected by, like, Casey Johnson comes out yesterday, you know, your colleague comes out with this report that Chad Buchanan is being eyed as, you know, possibly changing. It has to affect players. It has to. Yeah. If you know your boss's bosses are going to change, it changes your workplace, doesn't it?
You know, it changes the whole environment. And I remember, you know, as a former player, you always wondered, and it's one of the things that you always think about, a coach's security. You wonder about, hey, is this guy going to be here? But you also wonder about, you know, when it's one thing to talk about a coach's security, but it's another when you start talking about front office security and who's going to be where, who's going to be what. Because then you start asking yourself, okay, if they're going to change the front office, and this is from a player's perspective, how much change is there going to be down the line?
Right.
Because very rarely do you have that significant of a change, if that even happens, to where it's not felt all the way down the line, as far as, because now players are looking around and they're like, and everything now, you know, the interesting thing is, back when I played, because of, we didn't have social media, sometimes we were actually the last ones to find out about stuff. But now everybody knows everything because of social media. And if you don't know, you're getting a text from a friend or your agent or somebody going, hey, just wanted to let you heads up, this was just out on Twitter or this was out on Instagram or this is being reported. And so now the players are like, what the hell is going on? And guys right now are sitting around asking themselves, who's going to be here next year? Am I going to be here next year? Because then also, guys aren't idiots. They start looking around and they're like, okay, who in this locker room has value? I think I have value. Let's just hypothetically, let's talk about the guy, in my opinion, that has the most value in that locker room, Zach LaVine. Zach's asking, am I going to be here next year? Because I feel, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, I would love to see him here. And I know for a fact he wants to be in the city of Chicago. He loves being here. Because whether you want to call this shallow, regardless of however you want to approach it, and I'm not saying Zach's thinking this way, but I'm telling you this from a former player's perspective, playing with some of the best that have ever played the game. Players want to be appreciated for what they do. They want people to take the money out of the equation, which, unfortunately, you can't do.
Right. That's not happening. Everybody knows what everybody makes.
So everybody wants to judge a person's performance on how much they make. If you could just for a moment take that out of the equation, Zach would love to be known as the guy that came to Chicago in a trade for Jimmy Butler and resurrected the franchise. But he needs help. He needs help from the front office. He needs help from his teammates. He needs help from ownership. He can't just do it on his own.
Coaching,
exactly. But he would love to be known as the guy that stuck it out, the guy that was, quite honestly, underpaid, but yet did it for the good of the franchise and got this organization back to where it was.
There are guys who don't think that way, though, in these situations. I've been around teams where sensing seismic change, a player's on the phone with his agent like, hey, this is our chance. I want to go here, here, or here. Get me out of here. I mean, there's all sorts of opportunities. I think that's sort of old fashioned. The way you describe Zach LaVine, that's kind of old fashioned to be like, yeah, I am of this place, and I haven't. It's something sort of redemptive about wanting to get it done here, and maybe thinking like, yeah, the next regime, that's going to be my best shot to do it.
Right, but guys also, honestly, they don't like to bounce around because now here's what happens. After their career is over, former players, fans, so-and-so, I won't throw any names out. So-and-so, you know, he was a really good player, but he played for 8 organizations.
Yeah, you don't have the connective tissue built up with the community.
Because we're now in a society, instead of focusing on the positive, unfortunately, we have a tendency to focus on the negative, and fans will be like, so why do you think he played for 8 organizations? If he was a guy that played for 8 organizations, he was a 5-time All-Star, why did he bounce around so much? There must be a lot of baggage. There's a lot of assumptions made.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, as far as we know, he could have been, as you just talked about, constantly on the phone with his agent. Get me out of here. I want to go to the Lakers. Or I want to go to Utah. I want to go to another organization because of what's going on there, because of their front office, what they're doing, the promise that they have. And I'm not saying Zach's saying, hey, I trust this organization. They're going to do the right thing. But this is Chicago, man. This is still one of the premier destinations.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, now, that's coming from somebody that's won a bunch of championships, so I'm very fortunate. But I always say this, and players think this way. There are organizations that are held to different standards. That's just how it works because of their history, because of what they've accomplished. And in the NBA, it's the Boston Celtics. It used to be the Knicks, but because of current ownership, unfortunately, that's just gone by the wayside.
Now, I think we should be clear, though. When you say held to certain standards, the next question is held by whom? Held to a standard by the owners of the team saying we must be at this level? Because owners will prattle about that stuff all the time in their championships and a championship standard. See, when I see empty seats at the United Center, I see Bulls fans. For the first time in a long time, fans are holding them to that standard, saying this product is not good enough. that this we won't attend it. We don't want to be a part of this.
But that's how you send the message.
Yeah.
Okay. But when I talk about held to a different standard, I mean because of the fact that this organization has won championships. The Miami Heat have won championships. The Los Angeles Lakers have won championships. I'm putting the Clippers in that right now, even though they haven't won championships. Wow. I'm just talking about presently because of the fact of the moves that they're making, what they've vocally have said, their actions have followed their words, and they're in this to win a championship. They got Paul George for a reason. They went out and got Kawhi Leonard for a reason. Okay? They're pushing all the right buttons. They're sending the message. Now, to your point, the Bulls are sending the message, but unfortunately, they're currently, and I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but the actions are not following up the message. And that doesn't mean that they're not trying, but they were the ones this year that talked about, hey, we're pushing, searching, hoping, we're talking playoffs.
That's why you get Thad Young and Tomas Satoransky.
Right.
You do that to solidify an up-and-coming group. I got it. I mean, I understood a lot of their moves. And you know, listening to them and giving them the benefit of the doubt, a lot of what they were saying, based on what we had seen, made sense. I bought it. I bought into the idea that they could be a 7 or an 8 seed.
I was so happy to hear that. But also, let me get back to my thing. Yeah. Because we won championships, we should at all times be held to different standards than the Milwaukee Bucks, who have made it very clear what they're trying to do. And here's a perfect example. Mike Budenholzer the other night, they win by 12. And he sits down and he goes, we won, we didn't play well enough, questions. There was no, you know, it's one of those games. You know, you just, hey, we won, that's all that matters, let's move forward. He was talking about the bigger picture. We didn't play well enough, even though we won, this is unacceptable, give me your questions. He was sending a message to his team that, hey, it's not just about winning. It's about how you win, and it's about preparing yourself for the playoffs because that's a totally different animal. And, you know, we can win as many games as we want in the regular season, but if we don't win in the playoffs, that's all people are going to talk about.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves host the Rockford Ice Hogs at 3 p.m. Sunday. The first 2,500 fans to arrive on Little Debbie Sunday receive a Wolves retro lunchbox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Mike is calling from Plano. He's on the Score. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. I want to know if you agree with what Kevin Garnett said earlier this week when he basically said the reason the Bulls don't get superstar free agents is because of the way things ended with Jordan and the Bulls in the late 90s. Now, I was only a kid when the Bulls reign ended.
20 years ago.
I don't know all the details. I know, and that's what I'm saying. I don't recall the Bulls even treating him badly. He was making $25, $30 million a year on top of his Nike salary.
20 years ago, you got kids who weren't born. You got kids in the NBA who weren't born when Michael Jordan was still playing.
Now, there is, and with the NBA in town this past weekend for the All-Star game, just when I was doing appearances, charity events and stuff, I talked to some people who there is still a belief that the Michael Jordan shadow still exists. Players,
because of the brand still? I mean, even though he's an owner for another team?
And a lot, well, when you walk into that atrium, what's the first thing you see?
Yeah. Jason Goff and you and Kendall.
No.
That's the first thing I'm looking at.
We see that Jordan statue. And there's some belief. I don't buy into that because, it's like you talked about, it's been long enough. That some people just, hey, that's Michael Jordan's team. That you're always going to be compared to. That's the footsteps that you're trying to follow. I disagree. I still believe that, and a lot of it has, and here's the other reason why I say this about Chicago being one of the teams that should be one of the best in the league, because players look at this, agents look at this. When you hit a major market, whether it be New York, Chicago, L.A., this is when you start making money off the floor. Okay, regardless of how much money they make in their contract, then you start making endorsement money. And that's still important to these guys. And that's what a major market does for you. I mean, a lot of guys, if coming into the draft, they already have prearranged agreements with brands that if you get picked by one of these organizations, we're on board.
Does that matter as much anymore in a global game where we're all so connected? It's not like a guy playing in Utah isn't also a major figure. I mean, I'm sure Rudy Gobert is advertising things in Paris.
Yeah, but that's for the diehards. The diehards know who any player is. Every player is. Fantasy guys know who any player is. Every player is. But these guys still have egos, and it's important to these guys because of social media that, hey, man, you know, you're one of the best players in the league. How come you're not doing any endorsements? How come I don't see you in any commercials? You know, that's guys judge themselves in weird ways. You know, and guys aren't necessarily just strictly old school about, I let my game speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants me to endorse their product. I don't care. Guys are sensitive about stuff like that. So that's important.
I remember for years, Brian Urlacher was always asked, you know, why this now early, you can't drive on a major thoroughfare without seeing giant pictures of Brian Urlacher selling you the anti-air law stuff. But the answer was he couldn't talk. Like, and he would be in an ad, but it would be a non-speaking role. Like, it takes so much time to develop some of this stuff that's a different skill. And what's happening now is kids are coming out of college with so much more polish. I was talking to Rick Fox about this last week. Mm-hmm. Just how savvy so many young NBA stars are now to speak clearly, to present themselves, to care about how they look fashion-wise. And it's just, they know about marketability.
But that's all because of social media.
And LeBron James.
Oh, big time.
Yep. I mean, this is the LeBron generation.
Because they also realize now, this is my way to develop a platform. And if I develop my platform correctly, then I will be more than just about basketball. I'll be about anything and everything. And that again, is also important to these guys now.
And people forget how long it took Michael to really develop as a speaker and as an image guy. When he started, he was doing like hair gel activator magazine ads. Remember, like a Soul Glow kind of thing? And even well before Gatorade, he filmed a McDonald's All-American game commercial at Deerfield High School in 86. And I, as editor of the yearbook and copy editor, I got special access to go in there and do a piece and sit there like a half an hour sitting there with Michael as a high school student. And all he was drinking the entire time was canned Lipton iced tea. That was his thing. He didn't know Gatorade. That's all he wanted. Now they call it Brisk, but back then it was Lipton lemon iced tea or whatever it was, sweet tea. And he spoke differently. You know, it took time. He had a very thick Southern accent, and it kind of over time, he became a much better, much more savvy pitch man. You know, Larry Bird could barely talk. You know, you couldn't understand a word he said. Like so many of these guys, over the course of their careers, evolved into these polished pitch men.
Right. Well, one of the best stories I ever heard about Larry Bird was Kevin McHale. They asked Kevin about Larry Bird's training, and he says, "Well, you know, when it's getting ready, it's about time for training camp because Larry switches from Bud to Bud Light." I mean, Larry tells stories about how he just used to love to sit in his house in Indiana. He had a refrigerator in the garage and just sit around and drink beer.
Well, who doesn't like that, right? It's a job. And then he hurts his back. Remember how with all the stuff with his back injury, remember how he hurt his back? He was paving his own sidewalk. Like he was bringing paving stones over.
And remember when he played on the Olympic team, when they had to fly overseas, he literally had to, because of his back, he wanted to play on that team. He had to fly laying on the ground.
Yeah, it was like a horse.
They had to prop him up a certain way and do all these different things. It's one of those things that just that was interesting to hear that story about. He couldn't just sit in a seat and, all right, let's go.
That's Will Perdue in for Connor McKnight of the Bernstein McKnight Show. This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Great food at a great price at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. When we come back, I heard something at halftime last night. I think it was at halftime. It was a Leila Rahimi report on NBC Sports Chicago. And I had to go back and listen to it to make sure I heard it correctly. And I want to bounce it off you because it's something that I've never heard a coach say before. And it's not who you think it is. Bernstein McKnight on the score.
Saturdays from 8:30 to 9. Don't miss Early Odds with Score Guy and nationally renowned gaming expert Joe O. Featuring the latest odds, wagering, and gaming info you need.
Legal Sportsbooks will be launching here in Illinois soon. I promise. Get the most up-to-date info on Early Odds.
Early Odds with Joe O on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Hey!
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Isaac, you missed the winning dunk and cost your team the championship. What are your thoughts?
I switched to Boost Mobile and got four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones. So even when we lose, I still win.
Isaac, the fans are burning your jersey.
Yep, the fans get it. My Boost Mobile network is en fuego.
Switch to Boost Mobile and get four lines for $25 per line per month with unlimited data and four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all on our super reliable, super fast network. Step up with Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com for details.
Don't miss this Saturday steal at Old Navy. Jeans are $12 for adults, $10 for kids. And adults and boys plush winter tees are $9. Plus women and toddlers cozy socks are just $1. In stores only Saturday at Old Navy. Valid 222, select styles only.
Hey, Scoreheads, big news. Now you can pause and rewind live Score Radio on the Radio.com app.
Just download the latest Radio.com app update and enjoy pausing and rewinding the Score live.
You can catch all the stupid stuff we say. And for the first time ever in local broadcast radio, enjoy your favorite Score shows on demand and on the go.
It's fast and easy DVR-style controls for live radio. Update your Radio.com app now to get in on this hot new technology.
Download the Radio.com app update now to pause and rewind live Score Radio. Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I had no tangible evidence that my dad killed anyone.
What April Bellaccio did have was a feeling.
Let me ask you, how many people do you know that have been murdered?
None.
Well, everywhere I went, people that we knew or associated with were being murdered, and my dad talked about it or got involved in it.
We try to make sense of April's past. The Clearing, from Pineapple Street Media, in association with Gimlet.
Listen to The Clearing now, for free, on the Radio.com app.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. We Coach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Newly elected Hall of Famer Jimbo Covert.
I know Leroy Selman said one time you were the best he ever played against. Who was the best you ever played against? Was there ever anybody that gave you problems?
Oh, geez. I think Leroy was the best I ever played against. Oh. But, you know, I played against so many guys in practice.
Right.
You know, I mean, Richard Dent's one of the best guys I've ever played against. Played against a lot in practice. But if I'm playing against him in a game, which is a little bit different speed, I'd probably say he's the best. I mean, Dan Hampton. You know, I never saw a guy have so many pass rush moves in one pass rush because he was so good at it. I mean, he'd go under your underarm and then club you back the other side. And, you know, I mean, he, you know, in college, when I was, in college, you'd see a guy, he'd make one move, he didn't get to the quarterback, you know, you shut it down. I mean, you know, those guys, when I got there, were just, you know, exceptional, and Dan was one of them.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Let's check in with Layla Rahimi. Layla.
Thank you, Neil. I talked to Roy Rogers at the half, and one of the things I brought up was, of course, the fact that the Bulls haven't made a three yet in this game. He said the whole game has been disjointed, in his opinion. They missed a layup to open the game. They didn't recover fully from that. Only forced 7 turnovers, and that's his big concern as well. That means they've been a little more stagnant than he would have liked to have seen on the offensive end in
All right, hold on a second here. Hold on. That's Layla Rahimi, courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. They missed a layup to start the game and never fully recovered from it? An NBA team, a professional basketball team, couldn't recover from a missed layup, if that's true. First of all, I don't know if it's true. I know coaches just say stuff sometimes, but good God, man, come on.
I have to be honest. I don't know if that's true or not, if they missed the layup, because as soon as we finish our show, our pregame show, I hurry up and run downstairs and get in line to get food.
Okay.
Because what happens is the game ops people, once the introductions, you know, once they kind of blow the horn and you start doing the national anthem and introductions and everything, some of the game ops people now, their job is done. And they come downstairs, and the line gets real long for food.
I get it.
So a lot of times, I probably miss about the first minute to 90 seconds. Because if I get down there quick enough, while the introductions and the national anthem are going on, I get my food and sit down. Well, I missed the first part. So that may explain it. But I think that's the coach trying to dance around the situation.
Well, missed the lamp. Well, that's it. We're done. We're toast. Missed the layup. What's going on? He goes, I don't know. He missed that layup. We never, you know, now I can't make a shot. What do you expect me to do?
Well, they definitely weren't making threes because they were 0 for 15 in the first.
Yeah.
Eventually were 0 of 17. And then all of a sudden they were hitting them in the third quarter like nothing had happened. But as they say, if you keep shooting, eventually you'll hit one or two of them. But, you know, as shooters say, you got to keep shooting until you get hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I when Layla reported that last night, I was like, I remember looking around at the table. I was like, did I just hear that correctly? They're struggling to recover from a missed layup. I think that's
professional basketball players.
I think that's a coach trying not to be too negative and be like, all right, what do I say here? Okay, let me just say something random, and then let's see what happens.
Right.
But,
how do I get out of this?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's weird. I know they're kind of out of players, but you know you're playing.
They only had 9 healthy guys last night.
You're playing Ryan Arcidiacono. You got, you know, I at the beginning of the year, I always said I liked Luke Kornet. I always like his. His skills, I think there's some NBA stuff there, but he can't move on defense. I know you can't really play him because he can't stop anybody, but he could shoot an actual jumper from half court.
Oh yeah.
You know, like a Davis Bertans kind of range.
Let's talk about what we got going on here, okay? We're 19 and 30 something, right? If I could do the math in my head, but I'm a little slow this morning. There's 26 games left. So we don't know whether there's going to be – we don't know how significant the changes are going to be in the front office.
Put it this way. We know they're going to be significant, right? Can't we safely say that? I mean, there's names attached here.
Okay, but at the same time, though, are those people that are still there, are they going to be around or are they going
probably.
To be gone? Okay?
Probably. My best guess, and I'm sure you are informed on this too, if John Paxson is involved in this hire, he's not hiring somebody to replace him and he's going to walk away. He's not doing this to, like, it was like with the Cubs and Jim Hendry, where he was fired, but he was still there, and then he left when he wanted to, and he helped with the draft and the whole thing. I think he's going to have some senior or emeritus position.
In some position. We don't know if Boylan's going to be there, but let's just talk about the players for a minute. You're basically, in my opinion, you're in evaluation mode, okay? And you brought up a name, Luke Kornet.
Were you at school with his dad?
Yeah, his dad and I played together at Vanderbilt.
Okay, that's what I, because I keep calling, I covered Frank. I did Frank's CBA games.
Like yeah, but he also played, he was drafted in the first round by the Milwaukee Bucks.
He was, but then he ended up with the Fort Wayne Fury, and right. I think he was on the Rochester Renegades briefly when Musselman
was
coaching.
Right, but then he also eventually played overseas for a couple years and then called it quits.
Good player. You were talking about trade, talking about valuation.
Right, but so let's start working on the last 26 games. We want to make an evaluation. We know what Luke Kornet is. I don't think that at this point he's going to become anything else than what he is. He's a good outside shooter for a man his size who helps stretch out the defense, open up things in the middle, so guys like Zach, when they have to put it on the deck, can attack the rim, get into the paint, and get all the way to the bucket. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Luke's standing out on the perimeter, and because he shoots the three ball well enough, the defense has to honor that. So that takes them away from... But he's also... And when I say a rim protector, he's not necessarily a shot blocker, but he's a guy, because of his size and his length, that alters shots.
He also, what I like about his verticality, he doesn't lean. Some big guys have a tendency to become too easily, become foulers too easily, and he's able to stand vertically.
Right. Now, this is also an argument I have that about, even as a big... Even when you try to go vertical and a guy comes and initiates the contact and gets into your chest first, what do your hands do? They're coming down.
Right.
And then, you know, the official, I remember talking to the officials, be like, well, you know, you brought your hands down. I'm like, okay, well, the guy that weighs 270 pounds just basically ran right into me and tried to barrel me over.
How do I keep my hands up?
How do I keep my hands up? And, you know, they give you that kind of cockeyed look like, interesting. Let me get back to you on that one. No, you ain't getting back to me on it. But, so we know what Luke Kornet is, okay? We know what Ryan Archie-Diacono is. He's a guy that, and I want Archie-Diacono to be on this team. Why? Because he pushes guys. He is the, quite honestly, he is the guy that you love having on your team, but you hate when he's on the other team.
Or you hate him in practice when you're hungover.
That's a true statement. But also you hate him in practice because he's the guy that'll slide over in practice and take a charge. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? But that's his mentality. He's I'm not using this trying to be demeaning, but he's like a pest. He just won't go away. He can shoot the three well enough. He struggled last night. I'm not sure he made one. But he's also a guy that you identify. You know what his strengths are. You know what his weaknesses are. So when you put him out there and he's not playing to his strengths, or because of the fact he's not hitting his shot, which allows him to play to his strengths, you have to take him out. 28 minutes? When he's not doing the things that he's known for.
He also just doesn't matter as much as Kobe White. Like, he doesn't.
Not at this point. No, he doesn't. But that's why there's this discussion about, should Kobe start? And up till this point, I always talked about, it doesn't matter if you start. It matters how many minutes you play. And it matters, are the minutes that you play relevant and important times throughout the game? But now I think you're at a point, because of the injuries and because of what's going on, I'm just curious, why wouldn't you start Kobe last night? Because even and this is, I'm going to use Jim Boylan's words, he likes how Kobe, Satoransky, and Zach play together. So who of those three names I just mentioned, who starts? LaVine and Satoransky. So let's put them out there. I understand, you know, he came in early and that's what you did, but you know what? You're now, in my opinion, you're still trying to win to a certain extent, but you're also in evaluation mode. So you need to find out what guys play well together, who doesn't play well together, and there are, as I mentioned, two names: Archie-Diacono and Kornet. You know what those guys are. Not that you okay, you know what they are. Sit them on the sidelines, don't play them, but you can also use them accordingly. But there are other guys that we need to make reads on. We need to understand who they are. We need to truly understand what their strengths and weaknesses are. And these are the guys, in my opinion, that should be playing significant minutes.
That's Will Perdue in for Connor McKnight. The top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Visit the Sprint store on Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 p.m. tomorrow. We're going to turn our attention to baseball. One of the smartest guys out there, the lead baseball writer for NBC Sports, Craig Calcaterra, is going to join us to talk about the ongoing, unfolding MLB cheating scandals, some Cubs, some Sox, all of it coming up next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Jennifer Hudson singing her heart out, and you know, and the guy who used to be the king of that building's too cool for the room. He's not there. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He doesn't want to come to town. Jordan's too cool for the room to participate in an NBA-produced tribute to the late Kobe Bryant.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
APR. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Don't miss this Saturday steal at Old Navy. Jeans are $12 for adults, $10 for kids. And adults and boys plush winter tees are $9. Plus women and toddlers cozy socks are just $1. In stores only Saturday at Old Navy. Valid 222, select styles only.
If you're a fan of the NFL, come on over to the Deceptively Fast podcast on radio.com or wherever else you download your podcast. I'm Seth Payne. I'm a retired NFL player. You might know me if you're old and you follow expansion teams. If not, no big deal. We have a good time. And look, I've been hitting the head a bunch of times. A bunch of times.